Days and nights fly past, fly past. What am I becoming right now? That's a question that the Buddha has you ask yourself every day. And the reason he has you ask it is because you can do something about it. What you're becoming comes from your actions. The person you are right now is a product of actions of the past and some actions in the present moment. And if that couldn't be changed, if you couldn't change it, the Buddha wouldn't have you ask the question. When we change the way we act, we change who we are. This is good to keep in mind as you look at the practice and get discouraged, thinking that it's beyond you. You wouldn't be able to do it. Well, the you right now is not the person who's going to be able to do it all the way. As you practice, you change. You become a different person. Keep this in mind when you look at your behavior and you're not inspired by it. And you look at your weaknesses and say, how could a person with these weaknesses ever reach there? You don't reach there with those weaknesses. You look for your strengths and you build on those. And as you develop skills, the skills of generosity, virtue, and meditation, they can overcome those weaknesses, change you into a different person. And they are skills. Generosity is a skill. At its very least, it's an exercise in free will. So many of the Buddha's lists of teachings start with generosity, because an act of real generosity, when you give something not because you have to, not because someone tells you you should, but simply because you want to, you gain a sense of freedom, or a sense that you have some free choice. You could take the chocolate or you can give it to somebody else. And if you give it to somebody else, you realize, okay, you've become a different person. And you had the freedom to take it, but you're also not a slave to your desires. This is why when the Buddha is asked, where should a gift be given? He says, give where you feel inspired or you feel it would be well used. In other words, he doesn't place any shoulds around that. However, if you want to turn generosity into a skill, then you start thinking about what you're going to give, why you're going to give it, who you're going to give it to, what kind of motivation and attitude you're going to bring to the act of giving. And here again, you can choose. He points out that some motivations are higher than others. The lowest one is giving with the idea, well, I'll get this back through the force of karma. But after all, you get tired of thinking in those terms because you begin to realize, well, I'll gain this some other time. But once I gain it that next time, I'll have to give it away again if I want to maintain the generosity of virtue. So you start thinking about other reasons, deeper reasons. Just feels good in the mind to give. And that's when the happiness that comes from this practice begins to get internalized. And the motivations go higher and higher until finally giving is just a natural ornament for the mind. The precepts are a skill as well. They're training in mindfulness, alertness, ardency, all the qualities you're going to need to get the mind into concentration. You have to remember the precept. You have to watch your actions to make sure you're following it. And you have to want to do it well. Realizing that the discernment that comes from the precepts comes from learning how to hold to them and yet not do things that will be detrimental. Because there are times, say, when you're asked a question about some information, you realize the person who's asking the question might misuse the information. So how do you not give the information at the same time not lying? That exercises your discernment. Then you begin to reflect. You look at your life and you begin to see that you're leading a life that's less and less harmful for yourself, for other people. The sense of well-being comes from that. And of course, meditation is a skill. It's probably the most difficult skill there is. And when you're first getting started, it can seem pretty daunting. But bit by bit by bit, as you work at it, the skill comes. And as the skill comes, there's a sense of well-being that comes with that. In this case, the quest for happiness turns into not how can I consume happiness, but how can I produce it? And there's a sense of satisfaction that comes in being a producer of good actions. This is why the Buddha said acts of merit, in which these three activities are generosity, virtue, and meditation. Acts of merit are another word for happiness. Interesting. The act itself is the happiness. When you see that you're able to do it. And then there's the happiness it produces. This is going to take patience. Because this kind of happiness is something that grows over time. But this kind of gradual growth that comes with gradually improving skill is the most solid way to improve the level of happiness in your life. They've done studies that show that most people have a certain happiness quotient. In other words, a certain level of happiness that may be disturbed by really good events or really bad events. But then the mind, after those events, tends to return to its original level of sense of well-being, higher or lower. But that's a happiness that comes from things outside happening to you. The happiness that comes from your own actions and changing your own actions, that's something else entirely. That's how your happiness quotient can be raised. Because your actions aren't going to change you. Events happening outside may mark you in some ways, but the mind has a certain way of recovering its original equilibrium, wherever that equilibrium was. Because its internal actions are still the same as they were before. It tends to digest sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations as it did before. But if you can learn how to change the way you digest your experiences, change the way you act in shaping your experiences, that's how you change the level of your happiness. So given that we're working on skills, be prepared to be patient. Here again, patience is something you may not start out with. This is why you have to motivate yourself with thoughts of heedfulness, realizing that if you don't change your actions, nothing's going to happen. No improvements are going to come. So you have to keep at it, keep at it. This is why we have those reflections about aging, illness, and death, the world being swept away. The reflection that the Buddha has you make every day that this could be your last day. In fact, this breath right now could be your last breath. If you have one more breath, make use of it. And the next breath, well, make use of that too. You passed over death at that moment, the potential for death at that moment. And the potential for death at that moment keeps going and going and going. You made it this far, well, make good use of it. Make good use of the time that you've got right now. And if you learn how to focus on your actions instead of the big results you're hoping at the end, you find that over time, almost insensibly, you begin to change and the level of happiness begins to rise. Dogen, the Zen master, gave a comparison. He said, it's like walking through mist. Even though you're not conscious of the fact that you're getting rained on, your clothes do get wet. It's a gradual soaking up. And you mention this in the context of being around a good person. And this helps an awful lot. Being around good people, getting out of your ordinary environment for a while. But those two things on their own aren't enough. You've got to make up your mind. You're going to change the way you act. So when the Buddha asks, you know, what are you doing right now? What are you becoming right now? You can say, well, at least I'm working in the right direction. And learn how to develop a craftsman's attitude toward the practice. In other words, you work at it bit by bit by bit, and you see gradually your mastery begins to grow. You learn to look for the little signs that things are getting better. And not get discouraged when the signs are not all that clear. One of the Buddha's images is of the handle to a hammer. We know that if you hold the hammer and use it long enough, eventually the handle gets worn. But you can't see it getting worn day by day by day. You can't measure how much it's gotten worn. But over time, it happens. He also gives the example of a rigging on a ship. The ship gets docked on the beach. And over time, the ropes begin to wear away in the wind and the sun. But if you were to measure them day by day, how much they're getting worn away, you can't measure it. But over time, it happens. You've got to keep these images in mind. Because the way the mind talks to itself is very important in how it's going to act. And as you learn these new habits, you find that you can develop more difficult habits, better habits, over and over time, and you become a different person. So the person is facing the path and says, I can't do this. Well, that person can't do all the steps of the path at that moment. But that person can take the first step, and then the next step, and the next step, and then the person that he or she becomes can take the following steps. This is how you become someone who's capable of the practice, capable of being happy. Even though where you are right now, it doesn't seem like that. But when that happens, you'll be right there. You'll be a different person at a different place. It all starts with what you decide to do and keep doing. Results will have to come over time.